Going through Philippians. We're making our way through, and this morning we're going to look at the theme of suffering that's found in different places throughout the book. So if you need a Bible, I invite you to go get one. There's a stack of Bibles over there by the bathrooms, or we've been passing out books that look like this. They're at the booth right here. Looks like Amy's trying to dig more out because they're gone, but there, look, she has them. So please, either get one of those books or get a Bible. And we're going to turn our attention to chapter 1 of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to start by looking at verses 27 through 30. And then a little later on, we'll look at a few verses in chapter 3. But turn to Philippians 27 through 30. Lord, as we turn our attention, as we turn our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to your word this morning, it is my prayer too that you would just speak to us. Open our eyes. Open our ears, Lord. Soften our hearts. Receive what it is that you have for each one of us here this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians 1, beginning at verse 27. Here Paul says this, he says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. In verse 29 again, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. So people of God, this week, this coming week, is my daughter Megan's birthday. She's turning 11 already. Can't believe that. Turning 11. For those of you with little kids, pay attention, because before you know it, they're 11. One of the things that we like to do, Doug's nodding his head, his are way past 11, there you go, that's right. One of the things that we like to do for our kids on their birthday is to give them a few birthday gifts to celebrate them and to show them how much we love and we care about them and to show our thanks. So each year when their birthdays roll around, we ask them for some gift ideas. We ask them about what they would like to receive for a birthday gift. Now, does anyone else do this? Does this practice? Is this familiar with any of you? Jeremiah, he does that. Anybody else? All right, good. Tell me, if it was your birthday this week, what are some of the things that you would like to receive for your birthday? All right. Gift cards. Gift cards to where?
Anywhere.
He's not Wow, okay. Anybody else? What would you like to receive? Plane ticket. Any destination? Seattle. She would like a plane ticket to Seattle. Okay. Anybody else? Yes. A new car. Nice. Way to go, Mom. Did you write that down? How about that? Any particular type of car there, Dominique? A Range Rover. Wow, man. Hey, they don't call it a wish list for nothing. How about that? Yeah, way to go. Range Rover. Okay. Anybody else? Birthday wish, if you had a chance. Joel, any car? You interested in a big van? No, just kidding. Anybody else? What would you wish for? A computer. Okay. Anybody else? You want a haircut? Sure there? You guys should talk afterward. Anybody else? What would you want for your birthday if it was your birthday this week? Yeah, Ben. A vacation? All right. Okay. How about that? Megan had a number of things on her gift list this year. Because she loves to dance and is growing, she asked for some new dance clothes. One of the things that I noticed about her list this year, one of the things that did not make her list, or any of your lists that you just shouted out, was suffering. Nobody wished for suffering for a birthday gift. Dance clothes, yes. Colored socks, yes. Dance lessons, yes. Volleyball net, yes. Range Rover, yes. Haircut, yes. Suffering, no. Nobody said, "Ooh, I'd like to suffer for my birthday." Listen again with me to Paul's words to us in Philippians 1, verse 29. He says, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him." Listen how the New Living Translation puts it. He says, "For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for Him." In this verse, Paul says that suffering has been granted to us. That suffering has been given to us. In this verse, Paul says that you and I, we have the privilege of suffering. In this verse, Paul joins the words gift and suffering for us together just like this. Something that I think I would rarely do, if ever, would I put that suffering and gift, would I put those two together? As a result of this merger that Paul does for us here, this verse in Philippians has been messing around with my head and with my heart and has been challenging me these past 2 weeks. Again and again, I asked myself, how in the world can suffering be a gift? How in the world can suffering be a privilege? When would I ever want it to be granted suffering? If I was a survivor, right, I want to be granted immunity. Right? If I was standing before a judge, I want to be granted not guilty. But granted suffering? When would I ever want to be granted, be given suffering? The answers to these questions became clear when I examined suffering and realized that there are different types of suffering in this world. And I understood the type of suffering that Paul is talking about here in Philippians chapter 1. Tell me this, when you look at your own life and when you look at the lives of the people that you know, the people around you, where do you see suffering? What are some of the ways that people around you suffer? Give some examples.
Yeah.
Health. Okay. I thought of Taiwan, who just died recently. Taiwan had cancer. When I saw him in person, right, and many of you did too, right, we saw him suffering, right? Suffering because of the cancer that was growing inside of him, right? Others of us are also suffering because of other health issues. That's right. Another example, when you look around, how do people suffer? Financially, okay. Anybody else? Okay. They have a bitter spirit or a bitter heart within them. Right? And they suffer as a result. And not only do they suffer, but they share that with those around, and then the people around them suffer as well. We all know what it's like to be around a bitter person. Yeah? Enjoyable or not so enjoyable? Right? Okay. How else do we suffer? Spiritually. Okay, what do you mean by that? Explain. By disbelief. Right? By believing lies, not the truth. We suffer as a result. Okay? Yeah, Joel. Okay? We suffer when we watch our brothers and sisters in disbelief. So by seeing them not believe, we suffer as a result of that. Okay? Okay. Okay? Can you give an example of what you're thinking about? Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Yep. Okay. 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 19 years. Okay. Okay. So suffer because of extreme oppression back at home. Always on the move. Either politically, socioeconomically, but yeah, suffering as a result of what other people are doing. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. People in the Gulf are suffering because of a oil spill. Right. People in Haiti, people in Chile, suffering because of natural disasters, earthquakes. Right. Okay. When I was on one mowing crew during the summer, when I was in high school, this one guy, he suffered a lot because he liked to stay up drinking all the time. So come early morning, 8:30, 9 o'clock, he was suffering, right? Because of the choices that he made. Always hungover and always complaining, right? But suffering. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay. Suffering for your faith. Okay. There is a different type of suffering. Okay. Many of the things that we have talked about, and that's the distinction that Paul's talking about right here. Many of us suffer because of sin, either our own personal sin or the sin of others or the sin that's just in the world, right? Things affect us. We make choices. We make good choices. We make bad choices. We suffer because of as a result of that. That's not the type of suffering that Paul's talking about here. Paul's talking about this type of suffering that she just talked about. Suffering for doing what I call the right thing, right? For believing the truth. For giving your life to that. There's suffering that results from what Paul says when we contend for the gospel in verse 27. Right? When we contend for the faith. One of the commentators that I read said, "We who live in Western democracies, we face a danger that many in the world do not. And the danger is that we know little or nothing of the kind of suffering that Paul is talking about here. And so the temptation is strong to make suffering more generally applicable than it really is," this person says. He says, "The suffering of which Paul speaks is suffering for the gospel faith. Not suffering in general, and certainly not suffering because we didn't get our way. All right, our personal agenda wasn't fulfilled." Can you think of examples of people who suffer on account of their faith, on account of contending for the faith? And as I reflected these past 2 weeks, there's one face that kept popping up in front of me. That was Bob Heaterks. I don't know if many of you may know Bob. But Bob was an example to me on a number of different levels. Bob was a person who gave generously. And he gave generously in so many different ways. He gave of his time. He gave of his talent. And he gave of his tithe, of his money, his financial resources. And as a result of his extreme generosity. And he did this because of his faith, right? He did it because he believed he was called to. It was how he contended for the faith. It's how his faith played itself out in his everyday life. And as a result, he suffered when it came to acquiring the things of this world. He didn't have much in terms of what the world has to offer. He had a modest house. He never had air conditioning. I don't know how he did that, but they had one of those attic fans. Right? He drove an old Chevy pickup truck. So, right? Somebody wished for any type of car. Bob, he had that truck and he drove it. But he would drive that truck around and he would help. Boy, he helped Monroe out so much during those early years. And he not only helped out Monroe, he helped out Camp Roger, and he helped out so many different people. So when it came to like the latest and the greatest of what the world had to offer, Bob was not there. He suffered as a result. What Bob believed to be true went against what the world told him. And he chose to hold that at bay and to live by a different way. And I call it the gospel way. And then because of what the world said, he suffered. Right? He didn't get access to all that, nor did he even necessarily even want it. And Bob, he highlighted a truth for me. And I think it's the truth that Paul is talking about here in Philippians 1. And the truth is this, is we are conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, as Paul says, right? Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. If we are standing firm in the faith, if we are contending for the faith of the gospel, then the reality is you and I are going to suffer. We are going to suffer as a result. And we're going to suffer because that way is in conflict with the way of the world. And what do we know about conflict, right? We know that there's friction there, right? And there's going to be a rub. And if we're rubbing against it, it's gonna hurt, right? You're playing basketball and you're going forward, and then all of a sudden you trip and you hit the floor. What's going to happen? Right? Friction. Right? You're going to suffer. Right? You're on your bike. You fall off. Right? There's friction. Anytime we choose to contend for the faith and say no to the world, there's going to be a rub, right? And we're going to suffer as a result. This tension, while no less real today, seemed to come alive for me during my high school years. Who remembers high school? Right? Some of us may want to go back. I'm glad to be done with it. Right? Do you remember high school? In high school, students are trying to figure out who they are, right? We're trying to figure out where do we fit, right? We're trying to figure out our physical bodies, right? I can remember growing like, I don't know, 3 feet, right? Sorry about that, Gail. Yeah, you didn't have that problem. That's right. Right? We're trying to figure out where we're fit. We're trying to figure out where are we gonna stand, right? On what are we gonna stand? And not helping any is that everybody's kind of watching, right? It's kind of like this when you're in high school. Here you guys all are, and here I am, right? I'm in the spotlight, right? And what's he doing, right? Where is he standing? What is he contending for? What is he standing up for? What's he going to give his life to? Right? And everyone's always, we're always looking, we're always watching because we want to be able to label, right? We want to be able to say something. We want something to talk about. Right? So when we're in high school, where we stand and what we stand up for, or what we contend for, is it's magnified. Right during those years, again and again, I had to decide where am I going to stand? Then I had to suffer the consequences, so to speak, for where I stood. Was I going to stand and suffer for doing the wrong thing, or was I going to stand and suffer for doing the right thing? Was I going to follow the ways of the world, or was I going to stand and contend for the gospel? Paul says, whatever happens, as citizens of heaven, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He says, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. People of God, Jesus invites us to come and to follow Him. He says, come. Follow me. Stand here. Follow my lead, he says. But Jesus also reminds us in John 15 that standing firm in Him will not necessarily be an easy thing for us. In fact, Jesus says we may be persecuted as a result. When talking to His disciples, Jesus said this. He says, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. Jesus stood firm in His Father's will. But tell me this, was it an easy thing for Him to do? Did Jesus have to suffer as a result of following His Father's will? Did Jesus have to suffer? Should we be surprised then that the same is true for us, that we should suffer for following Jesus, for standing firm, for saying yes to Him and no to the world? Listen to Peter's words in 1 Peter 4. Here Peter says this. He says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. How about that? I'll read that again. I had to do a double and triple take with that too. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Peter says, do not be surprised. Do not be surprised if you suffer for Him. Instead, rejoice. Rejoice that you suffer. Woohoo! That's something we do? Woohoo! Right, I'm suffering. I am suffering for Him. Right? Do we live in such a culture? Or do we live in a culture that says, wait, get away. Get away, suffering. We do whatever we can to get away from it. No, Peter says, rejoice that you suffer. He says, if you are insulted for Christ, right? If you're in the spotlight, people are like, ha ha. You're blessed. You are blessed. Peter says, suffer for being a Christian, he says, not for being a thief or a criminal. Suffer for the gospel way. Suffer for the truth. Not for sin, not for doing what's wrong, he says. To end this morning, I want us to look at the other part of Philippians where Paul talks about suffering. Turn with me to Philippians 3, verse 10. There it is. Yeah. Here Paul says this. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. In this verse, Paul shares with us three desires of his heart. Paul desires first, right, to know Christ. Second, to know the power of His resurrection. But then he adds that third thing. He says, he desires to know the fellowship of sharing in Christ's suffering. As I looked at this list and reflected on this verse, I asked myself, what do I desire from the Christian life? What do I desire out of it? What do I want? This is a wish list here. Right? Kind of like a birthday list. What do I want? As I looked at his list, and I asked, do I want these things? Take a look at that verse again. And as you do, ask yourself, what do you desire? What do you want? Right? What do you want out of the Christian life? I like two out of three for sure. But what about that third one? Right? I want to know Christ. Right? Because what happens when I know Him? Right, the truth of that last song that we just sang. The effects of sin, right? Those go away. I don't have to suffer as a result anymore. He paid my ransom. Right? I don't have to suffer what He had to suffer. Where's Trina? No longer do I have to be a jerk, right? The power of the resurrection. I can overcome the power of being a jerk. Right? So I want to know that too. Right? So I don't have to suffer those effects. I like those two. Man, that is, right? That's good. But then this third one. Right? To know the fellowship of sharing in Christ's sufferings. Is that something you desire? Is that something we as a community of faith that we desire? Do we desire to share in the sufferings of Christ? Paul desires to share in the sufferings of Christ because if someone is willing to suffer for Christ, it is a sign that they will be saved. Why does he desire it? Because it's a sign. It confirms what he believes is true. We only suffer for the things that we believe in and that we care about. We who are parents know this, right? When it comes to our kids. Right? We will do whatever it takes, right? So that they get what they need. Right? Even if it means that we will suffer as a result. Right? They'll eat first. I'll go hungry. Right? They'll have the trendy clothes. Right? I won't. There's no way anybody will make fun of them. Let them make fun of me instead. Right? Why is that? Why is it that we're willing to suffer? Because we love them, right? And we care about them. Right? You who are in the business world, right? If you love what you do, right? If you love your business, you're gonna suffer. You're gonna do what it takes to make that thing succeed, right? Because you love it and you care about it. Therefore, Paul, he desires to share in those sufferings. Why? So that he knows that his faith is true. That it's real. Right? It confirms that, yes, I'm saved. I believe. Right? When the going gets tough and we get going, right? It wasn't true. Right? We're just going to run away. But when the going gets tough, when the friction is there, and we stand firm and we contend for the faith, right? Then we know it's true. Right? We're not going anywhere. Do what you want. Say what you want. Believe what you want. I believe this is true. I'm content for this. I'm standing firm here. That's why Paul desires this. Right? That's why he wants to share in it. Do we desire the same thing? Pray with me. Father, we come before you once again, having been challenged by your word. Having been challenged by your word to examine our hearts and our lives. Lord, in these next few moments, as we continue to sing, just speak to us. Speak to us through your Spirit. Speak to us through the lyrics. Speak to us through your sacrament, Lord. Enable us to see where is it that we are standing. What is it that we are contending for? Are we standing firm, Lord? Are we willing to suffer for you? Lord, speak to our hearts. Speak to us, Lord.